Translation. Although this is the Lord speaking, yeah? Lord Brahma has finished his prayers, his speech. Now the Lord opened his eyes. Yat Pundarikaksha. You know, every time we read that verse, so nice when Radhanath Swami, every time before the any yagya or before giving initiations, he told me once, he said that initiation is formality, any yagya is formality, any worship is, but actually what is important, it's the, by remembering those lotus eyes of the Lord when they open up. And here they opened up at the response of Lord Brahma prayers. And that motion is called Pundarikaksha. Anyone who remembers these beautiful eyes, he will never take birth anymore. And it's more important than being born, you know, in a Brahmana family or being initiate or non-initiate. You know, just by remembering the lotus eyes of the Lord, one becomes purified. Millions of times more than, you know, you take birth and get initiated again and again and again. So this is very important moment here. The Lord opened his eyes, and Lord Brahma, he had darshan of those beautiful eyes. What is the prayer? Ya Pundarikaksha. Guru, the Guru, you. That. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Adi Guru Prabhu is a pandit, just came back from India, and he's a nice boy. Also today is the appearance day of a very good friend of mine, and this person gave birth to a wonderful Vaishnavi. That's the devotee behind you. You all know the name. I haven't even said, he's the father of Guru Shakti Prabhu. Please bless him and give him your best wishes. Again, he's the seed-giving father of great Vaishnavi. We all know Guru Shakti. She's very dear to Lord Chaitanya for always being engaged on book distribution. Anyway, we don't want to get diverted too much. So the Lord's eyes, beautiful. Like Trump says, beautiful. You know, it's just beautiful. Everything he says, it's beautiful. Now, although I am not easily knowable by the conditioned soul, you have known me today because you know that my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically not of the five gross and three subtle elements. Please repeat after me. Although I am not easily knowable by the conditioned soul, you have known me today because you know that my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically not of the five gross and three subtle elements. So here is a little context for you all. What are the five elements, gross elements? The ladies? Let's ask the ladies. What are they?
Earth, water, fire, air.
Wonderful. Fire, air. Wonderful. The subtle one? Beautiful, like Trump says, beautiful. So it's, and this is the qualification of any devotee who is trying to perceive the personality of Godhead, first of all, it's not enough, aham brahmasmi, you know, to understand that we are spirit soul. But there is something more to understand, that this soul is connected in yoga, in bhakti yoga, to the Supreme Soul. And who is this personality? And what is made of? To understand Krishna, one has to never make a mistake that he's made out of material bodies, like we all have. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, the Lord, he manifests his Virat Rupa, which is the material energy, the mountains, the eyes and the moon, you know, as his eye, the sun and the moon as his eyes, the mountain as his muscles, the rivers as his veins, and what else? Any other deception? The trees, you know, has the hair in the, on the body. What is? What else? Yes. Yes, the ocean has the stomach. Day and night is his blinking. Yes, correct, Adiguru. Yeah. So it's beautiful. But that is for neophyte devotees. The Lord, he manifests his body also as Virat Rupa to help the conditioned soul to appreciate his energy. You know, it's like, what is it? Bhagavad Gita says, if you can't do bhakti yoga, you do karma yoga. If you can't do karma yoga, you do jnana yoga. If you can't do jnana yoga, stanga yoga. So it's like, you know, he gives a chance. If you can't see me spiritually, that I have a form, but you can't see it, so therefore I manifest my material form. So if you can't see Krishna spiritually, then you can see Krishna, his material body, which is also purifying. That's why we have to pledge allegiance and respect and being honorable to the with our dealings with the material energy, because it's no different from the body of Krishna. Can you hear me? I say, so, but that is for the neophyte people, materialist people. Slowly, you know, when they say they wake up and, oh, it's a beautiful sun today, beautiful sunshine. They glorify, you know, the eyes of Krishna. But they don't know that it belongs to the Lord. But it's still, you know, you're addressing directly to the body of the Lord and indirectly to the spiritual body of the Lord. Just like the Acharya, they mentioned, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions about the meeting of Duryodhana and Arjuna. When they went to see Krishna, both they needed help from the Lord, you know, when there was the battle of Kurukshetra ensued. What Duryodhana asked for, and he was sitting right to the head of Krishna, and Arjuna to the feet of Krishna. So when Krishna opened his eyes, he just saw, you know, Arjuna first, and he inquired from Arjuna, you know, my friend, how can I help you? And Duryodhana jumped in and said, no, I've been here before him. So you have to ask me, what do I need, what I want. What did he ask for? Yes. He didn't ask for Krishna. You see, it's like ignorant people, materialist people, they are more fascinated by the material flickering energy of the Lord. They worship more the energy, the six opulence of Krishna, the beauty, power, fame, wisdom, all these things. These are energy of the Lord, wealth. But the devotee of Krishna, Arjuna, you know, he chose very wisely. I want you, my Lord. even though Duryodhana, Krishna said, he's taken everything, all the army. So I've given him everything. I've got nothing. What can I give you now, Arjuna? Arjuna said, well, I've got you. And Krishna said, you know, but I can't fight. It doesn't matter. He said, but I can drive your chariot. Even by doing humble service of to his devotee, Bhakta Vatsala, driving his chariot, he induced Arjuna to victory. Why? Because the spiritual body of the Lord, it's always superior to his energy. So materialistic people worship Virat Rupa, whereas devotees, we are all here, we are captivated by the body of the Lord, spiritual body of the Lord. Of course, we can't see Krishna at the moment. We can't see, we see a piece of marble or a piece of stone or some wood when we take Lord Jagannath for a ride. Some people, they see a piece of wood, even the devotees. But we can't see the Lord. So what to do? I mean, we have a dark, we get purified. Who is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't worry, don't be concerned too much trying to see Krishna. Just show up and make yourself available that the Lord will see you. That's more important. So what to do? If we can't learn to love what we see around us, we can never learn to love what we don't see. We can't see Krishna, but we see the devotees, we see the guru, we see the, of course, material energy. We connect everything, you know, with Krishna, and we learn to love these things first. And then when the exercise is perfected, completed, then we learn to love what we can't see. I've given up myself, I mean, personally. I don't want to sound as a pashanti or offensive or anything, you know, trying to squeeze my eyes and see, come on, my dear Lord, make a move, you know, drop a flower or show yourself that you are God. No, it's an impudent attempt. So when I come to the temple, you know, I just opened my eyes, I have a darshan, and and allow the Lord seeing me. That's the mood. We have to allow Krishna to see us. Of course, for many of us, and be it like Vaisheshika Prabhu said, you know, the service, and the other day, the service is our saving grace. Like, you know, I put something on Facebook. My temple is outside there in the street, and my deities are the books. And this is the correct mentality, really. It's not that I won't elogize, you know, my understanding, because that's where we find Krishna, in our service, the association of the guru. When I go out and distribute books, that's when I'm with my spiritual master, even though 23 years ago he's left the planet. And what to do? You know, it's very saddening. You know, you lose the guru. It's not a small thing. It's not a very small thing. You know, you lose sight of your directions, you become confused, especially when so many confusions, controversy and problems, camps, cliques, everything, you know, so much is going on in our society. I don't want to sound critical, but there are problems. In every religion there are problems. In every relationship there are problems. People sometimes tell me in the street, you know, do you as a Hare Krishna, you don't have any problem? I said, of course, maybe we have more problem than you do. Of course we do. If you tell people that we have no problems, then we are trying to sell them something. That's what business people, they do. They tell a lie in order to sell something. But anyway, so the service is our salvation. And we come to the temple for kirtan, for association, for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Usually I stay home, you know, I hear Bhagavatam class online. I have a darshan online. And then it's up to the Lord when he wants to open up his eyes. It took Lord Brahma, you know, how many years, Adiguru, did he perform penances? Thousands of celestial years, not terrestrial years. And, you know, it's not that the first day, you know, you feel tired in meditation. You know, we do one day fast and we already think we are close to Krishna. Is he going to talk to us or jump out of the bush, you know. So, Lord Brahma, it took him 1,000 celestial years just for the Lord to open up his eyes. We have to leave this prerogative to the Lord when he wants to show himself to us. In the meantime, we carry on serving. That's what Prabhupada says. Sorry, I had to say something on this translation. We'll read the purport, a short one anyway, but a beautiful one. That's what Trump says. Knowledge of the Supreme Absolute Truth does not necessitate a negation of the material manifestation, but understanding of spiritual existence as it is. To think that because material existence is realized in forms, therefore spiritual existence must be formless, is only a negative material conception of spirit. The real spiritual conception is that spiritual form is not material form. Brahma appreciates the eternal form of the Lord in that way. And the personality of Godhead, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshmanan Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. And the personality of Godhead approved of Brahma's spiritual conception. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord condemned the material conception of Krishna's body, which arises because he is apparently present like a man. What is that verse that Lord Krishna says? Anyone who sees my body as material, they are doomed. Mahamuda, come on. And then? You're supposed to know the old verse. Sorry, at least you know more than me. Sorry, what is that? Oh, I heard some. What is it? Beautiful, very nice. So the Lord himself, he said, you know, that we have to try to understand that he's not made of this blood, water, matter, mucus, and all these elements that is, you know, present in our body. Which arises because he is apparently present like a man. The Lord may appear in any of his many, many spiritual forms, but he is not materially composed, nor has he any difference between body and self. That is the way of conceiving the spiritual form of the Lord. Just like when he comes as a Varaha, we'd say the hog or the pig, whatever you want to call it. You know, there is no difference between that form and the Lord. He chose to appear, you know, wonderfully, beautifully. in that form. He comes as a tortoise. The tortoise symbolizes, you know, the humility of the Lord. Varahadev symbolizes the protection of the Lord. You know, he's the one who protects. He protects Mother Earth and all of us from being attacked by Hiranyaksha. He comes as a Buddha. He symbolizes the intelligence of the Lord, illumination. He comes as a Lord Ram. According to Jayadeva Goswami, he symbolizes the morality of Krishna. Lord Ram is the morality of Krishna. And Krishna, what is Krishna? He symbolizes the beauty of Krishna, of God. Like Srimati Radharani symbolizes the devotion, the happiness of Krishna. It's something that is going on in the heart of Krishna. It cannot, just like, you know, if you, someone removes the heart from your body or removes, you know, your happiness, then you'll be depressed eternally. You can't function. Your happiness is the most dear thing to you. Even between husband and wife, we think, you know, the wife is the happiness of the husband and the vice versa. Or the children, they are the happiness of the father or the mother. But according to the Acharya, our own happiness, internal potency, is the most dear to us. Because you can survive and again be happy within yourself. Atmaram, self-satisfied. That's what the Lord is. Now, the happiness of Krishna is none other than Srimati Radharani. So if he has a very intimate affair with his own happiness, we can't criticize him. Just like, you know, a friend of mine who became Franciscan priest. You know, we were brought up in a Catholic monastery together. And I defeated him in his argument because I gave him a Krishna book, you know, to understand a little bit more. He said, oh, but you, God, you know, so many women, so many affairs and blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, what's wrong with a God to have an affair with his own happiness? If you go in a corner over there, you sit down there, and you enjoy, you know, your own internal feeling. That's why Radharani is called the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. It's his pleasure. It belongs to him. So if he has an affair, intimate affair, with his own happiness, it's not an adultery, is it? It's a very crude example, you know, how to explain. You know, for those who criticize God, and, you know, even if he has an affair with all of us, with all the women in the world, like Shivaram Swami said, you know, our wife, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, my wife, my children, they're all yours. We're all from the happiness, internal potency of the Lord of Krishna, of the Lord. And we're part of that happiness. And if he has an affair with any one of us, there is nothing immoral. And Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna. She expands, you know, into Sita, Rukmini, and so many other wives of Krishna. But they are all his internal potency. So anyone challenges you, and anyone who criticizes your God, that is actually a debauchee, you can explain to them, you know, about... There is nothing wrong for God to have an affair with his own happiness. And you can't take it away. We can't take away, we cannot separate. That's why Krishna becomes the most pleased and happy when we, like Radharani does, when we push somebody else towards him. Because we are all part of his happiness. When we try to reunite Radha and Krishna, It's like, you know, bringing the happiness of Krishna more close to him, back to him. Lord Chaitanya was feeling like that. He was feeling like that, and that's why, you know, he was always in the mood of Radharani. Where are you, Krishna? Where are you? So, and we as a preacher, especially, Prabhupada said, that's why book distributors, they're like gopis, on the level of the gopis. If you do book distribution properly, or even a chanting Hare Krishna, you know, Maha Mantra, Kirtan, and you bring people close to Krishna, that is the mood of the gopi. It means, you know, you are bringing a conditioned soul a little bit more close to God, and that makes him happy. God becomes happy because part and parcel of his happiness is given back to him. This is the meaning of book distribution, Sankirtan. When you invite a conditioned soul to please wake up and come back to your source, to your original abode, you belong to Krishna. And then the books, you know, they will do the rest. They're like the map, you know. The books, you open up the map, and then if you're lost, then they'll tell you where to go, left, right, up, and down. So books are like the maps. And this material world is like a labyrinth. So the books, Bhagavad Gita, shows you the path. That's how you came back to your house, to your home. So anyway, Lord Brahma, he finished praying, and the Lord empowered him. And he was amazed to see the Lord, you know, in this ferocious causal ocean. And the waves, they were very scaring for Lord Brahma. And he saw this beautiful personality resting on this cooling snake, namely Ananta Shesha. Bhagavatam, you know, describes very beautifully. And the Lord was on Yoga Nidra. Lord Brahma disturbed him, you know, with his own prayers. Yoga, very peaceful. The waves, you know, they were like... But he was very peacefully enjoying his own happiness. And Lord Brahma, on top of the flower, he was offering prayers. And the Lord was... not being disturbed or being deterred by the distractions of the environment, very wild, violent environment. Big, huge waves, you know, I've seen sometimes in movies, you know, people there on the ships, they're holding on to the rope and scary, you know, to not fall in the sea. But the Lord, he was not like that. You know, he was actually peacefully resting on this beautiful Ananta Shesha, Lord Balaram. And Lord Brahma, he wakes him up. And the last prayer, does anybody remember what was the last words of Lord Brahma? I think Vaisheshika Prabhu gave a class on this. I mean, you come every day for class, you should know more than me. What was the last prayers of Lord Brahma? You're looking on the computer, you're cheating. Yes. Beautiful. Like, give him a round of applause. Like Trump says, beautiful. It's very interesting because that is the protection that we all needed to invoke from the Lord after our austerity, even before I go out on book distribution. You know, my dear Lord, protect me, because and empower me. And also there was another said, you know, make me understand that you are the door. Or whatever I'm about to do, which means to create, protect me. You are correct. Protect me that I don't fall in the illusion that is my work. sometimes we become empowered preacher and we think, oh, look how advanced I've become. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu, such a humble devotee. He never thinks for one second in his mind, you know, look how advanced I have become, you know, in distributing books, preaching, delivering the Bhagavatam. I was joking, you know, when in the street we were on Sangitan the other day, and he was coming towards me with all his entourage. So I placed the book in his hands and I said, excuse me, are you from America or Iceland? It was a joke anyway. He said, I'm from America. I said, no, because if you're from Iceland, you know, we are selling ice to Eskimos. In other words, you know, we're selling books to book distributors. So I put Prabhupada's book in his hand. And he said, oh, I like that. It was a joke, familiarity, you know. He didn't say, the way I approach people, you know, it's much more, or get out of the way, I'm doing some books, or whatever. It was like, he genuinely liked it. He said, do you say that to people? I said, no, I just said it to you to make a joke, you know, because I was trying to sell a book to a book distributor as a joke. And he liked it. But the idea is, Lord Brahma is inviting us to never become proud of our work. No matter how successful we become, whether it's a Lord Brahma creating, whether it's a guru who's got thousands of disciples, as soon as he thinks, oh, I'm powerful, look what I've done, look what I've achieved. Or as soon as he starts to compete with other guru, he's got 3,000 guru, I have to have 4,000. That's mundane calculation. No. Krishna is empowering each one of us accordingly to do our own work successfully. And the credit, like Rob Brahma said, always make me thinking that you are the adhikarta, the doer. Sometimes we win a marathon and we take the glorification, but we pass on the glories to Lord Chaitanya. Without being empowered by Lord Chaitanya, we can never understand the success in spiritual life. So whoever we are, whether today we have more knowledge than yesterday or tomorrow we will be more advanced, the best thing is always to give the credit to Krishna or to the spiritual master. Anything good we do, we pass on the credit to them, to Srila Prabhupada, to our guru, to Krishna. Anything foolish we do, we pass on the credit to ourselves. That is a good credit because it makes us humble. I said, I think a couple of years ago, I was sitting here, and before class, I had a beautiful realization that morning. I woke up. Would you like to know what it was? Devotees, they thought it was great philosophic, spiritual realization. But my realization was Hare Krishna, Partha Prabhu. Hare Krishna. My realization that morning was very simple. I realized how fallen I am. That was after, 40 years in Krishna consciousness. I realized that morning how fallen I am, how many bad habits I have. You know, sometimes we like to remember all the good things we do. Just like, every time I go out, I give some prasad to a homeless person or do something or distribute a few books. Or like Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them something about Krishna. And that's good. But I don't try to dwell on that and say, oh, I've done that today, so I'm proud of it. We tend, as a conditioned soul, like Prabhupada said at the end of the purport, the mentality of the conditioned soul is to think, you know, that how great he is. And the mistake is to always dwell, you know, on the good things that we do, and then we forget all our sins. But if the other way around, we remember all the foolish things we have done, all our sins, and forget about all the good things. That's what Krishna wants us to do. Of course, we don't want to dwell on our sinful activity, you know, but it's good to remember, where were we before we became a devotees? How many bad habits we had? And all flew away, you know, by Krishna's mercy. And because of the work of Krishna and the Guru and the association of devotees, so we have become better people, liberated. So a humble person always remember the habits that... That's why the acharya, who are the acharya, they always feel, you know, they are not qualified to be in the association of the devotees and Krishna, because they are in that mood. They always think, how fallen I, you know, look at the old Sharanagati of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's the embodiment of humility. I am nobody. I'm a sinful man. I'm a wretched man. You know, I'm this, I'm that. And that is not a false, false statement. He's feeling like that. Even the Acharya who wrote a Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, you know, he always feels meek and humble that he doesn't have any qualifications. So anyway, Lord Brahma, yes, thank you. The last prayer was, always protect me, my Lord. And that is the prayer even for myself. I was not really prepared for this class. Forgive me, you know, if I was in many places. It was short notice. But usually I read the verse in evening, and then wake up in the morning and something is cooked up, you know. It's always like that. But I always pray to the Lord, you know, Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim. By the mercy of the Lord, that the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains, blind man can see stars in the sky, and a dumb man like me can speak few words on the Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna. I don't have any other qualification. Thank you very much. Any questions? If there is any disagreement in what I said, please correct me. But if you agree, and you have some comment or whatever. Yes?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for class. Just shortly, in the beginning you mentioned that if a Sankirtan devotee discharge his service, the Sankirtan with the in a good way, with a good consciousness. So if you could say something about what is the good consciousness of a Sankirtan devotee.
The good consciousness of a Sankirtan devotee. It means that it's the prayer of, the famous prayer of Saint Francis. My dear Lord, please make me a channel of your peace. Make me an instrument. We have no qualification. We don't know what to say to people. I mean, I was on the second day, I was thrown in the street and I didn't know what to say to people. Prabhupada was like that. You know, he threw a devotee out of the train. He said, you go and open a temple. So it starts with surrender. You pray to Krishna, just like Lord Brahma. You don't know what to do, what to say. So good consciousness is when you remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. And my dear Lord, guide me. You lead the chariot of my life. You guide me towards people, and I'll just, as a puppet, give out the books. And you move my tongue, and as a puppet, I can speak. You give me the enthusiasm. As a puppet, you know, I can entertain people. You give, please give me the intelligence. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, for those who surrender to me, I give them the intelligence. These are all the tools that are given by the Lord. But the secret is surrender. If you go out, and even if you are a new devotee, and you can't surrender like a Brahma or your spiritual master, just say, you know, for these next 5 hours or 6 hours, I'm yours. Just surrender for those hours that you are out there in the street. Like I go out every day for 3 hours, and I say, my dear Lord, I just speak in English. I don't know how to pray like Lord Brahma, but I talk to the Lord in English. Today I'm yours. Make me your puppet. I'll surrender to you for 3 hours. But it doesn't mean, you know, when you finish, then you could do all sorts of nonsense, you know, and afterwards, and you go back to your independence. But no, it's service, sankirtan. If you surrender, you are successful, then you are happy doing it. And that's the secret that keeps you going out every day. And then it's like, you know, you eat a little bit of prasad, and then, you know, you are hungry again, and you go back, eat again. You know, you can't expect that book distribution makes you a pure devotee in one day. It's like, you know, eating, giving a big feast to a baby, he'll get sick. If you put a book distributor for 24 hours on the first day, he'll get burned out, then he wouldn't go out anymore. You get sick. So you give the taste, like Vaisheshika Prabhu is always, find the spark. Give a taste to new devotees. Let them do for, watch you at least. And then they could do for an hour, whatever you could do, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. But it requires surrender. That's the secret. All right? Thank you very much. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.